that everything about him was just pleasant. The way he was speaking, the way he was dealing, is just such a nice person. He wasn't just wise. He wasn't just deep. He wasn't just intelligent and always inspired and the living example. But he was just such a nice guy. Even before he was a devotee, Dayananda, on campus in university, somehow or other, shared his room with someone who also later became a devotee, independent in a completely different temple, and never knew that his college roommate had become a devotee. But even that person testified that in his college days, he was most popular. He was just so popular with everyone. Everyone loved him. Everyone liked him because he was just non-envious. That is the main quality. See, as soon as one is envious and there's false ego, then it becomes a little more complex, right? But Dayananda had no concerns with his own position or anything like that. He was really perfectly, openly disposed towards others and very positive. So, when Dayananda became a devotee, he was a natural. Immediately, he fit in. And it wasn't that he was like in any way struggling to live the life of ISKCON. He loved it. It was just, he was a typical ISKCON sadhu. He was not into the Indian trip, you know, of trying to cut a profile according to some traditional Vedic thing. No, he was completely ISKCON, right? That was it, you know. America of those days and just chanting Hare Krishna and prasadam and halva and gulab jamuns and all the nectar things, you know, that are part of our life, right? And Jayananda was like the motor of it all, right? Wherever there was Jayananda, there was prasadam. That was sure. He was expert in stealing Mahaprasadam offerings. He would never steal less than the whole offering. And he would not eat it himself. He would just lock it up, hide it somewhere, and then distribute it to anybody at any time. He could even wake up devotees in the middle of the night and say, Ram, Ram, yes? Oh, what's up? What's there? What's up? Wake up, Ram. Huh? Ram, open your mouth. Huh? And then put a gulab jamun inside, right? That was it. That was Jayananda. There was such a nice person. Jayananda was a tremendous preacher and immediately a leader in Prabhupada's movement. He joined quite early and was one of Prabhupada's early devotees. And therefore, he became the early temple president of the San Francisco temple. And at that time, he was still maintaining his job as a taxi driver and was making money in the day for the temple. And for the rest of the time, he was maintaining, doing a service. And in the whole day, he was preaching in the taxi, right? So he liked the taxi service. And it had a good time. You know, if you got in Jayananda's taxi, well, then he was preaching so expertly about Krishna that everyone went out as a friend of his taxi. People would just, you know, he used to call himself Johnny Ananda, you know, because the people couldn't actually say Jayananda. So he used to just introduce himself to people as Johnny Ananda. And he became famous with Johnny Ananda. So Srila Prabhupada, of course, had the desire to introduce Rath Yatra. And Jayananda somehow or other became, well, the empowered incarnation to make it happen. You know, whatever he was specially empowered for the purpose of fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's Rath Yatra desires in the Western world. Because without Jayananda, who would have done it? Who could have done it? Who would have thought about it? Just like here in Amsterdam, you know, like when we're talking about having a Rath card, right? It's not so easy to make your own, and it took a long time, and finally now we have something. But if you look at the one Jayananda had made, it was still, ours is real tiny, right? I mean, that was huge, you know? That was huge. And Jayananda did it all himself. Didn't have any money, he just didn't have any designs, didn't have nothing. but he would just go and collect it all. He would just go around, collect the money, get people to donate the building materials, start with only half or less, you know, and have faith that Krishna will send more, and just start working and working, and just day and night, welding, hammering, this, that. And he himself was working, and he was picking up anybody. He could pick up anybody from the street, it didn't matter, and just get him on the Rath cart. Right? And he himself was working with him, looking after him, and in this way, all kinds of people who were actually not at all temple devotees found themselves suddenly working on the Rath cart. They didn't know how it happened, but they met Johnny Ananda, and that was it. You know, Johnny Ananda had somehow or other brought them and said, "Oh, can you just hold this for a moment? You know, this little piece of wood." "Yes, thank you. Oh, you're holding it very nicely, very expert. Thanks a lot, you know. Maybe you could put it over there. And while you're at it, you know, can you use a saw? You know, you think you could cut a piece off?" "Yeah, I guess I can do that." And then he got you to cut a piece off, and, "Oh yeah, really good. Oh, perfectly straight, nicely done, very good. Just a few holes, you know." And before you knew it, you were working the whole day on the Rath cart, right? And you thought you were... Well, you just walked in into the shed, you know. He would just take you in to show you what he was doing, and you were just holding a piece of wood for a second, right? In this way, he managed to just engage people. Keep your fingers bent, you know, when you cut. That's the trick. So you never cut in your fingers? No, bend. Anyway, good luck. We'll teach you some other time. In this way, Jayananda had a tremendous power to get people to do all kinds of things that they would have never done. I mean, if somebody would have just asked those who helped to build the Rath cart, "Could you help to build like a cart for a parade?" They would have said, "You know, are you out of your mind or something? You know, you gotta be kidding, man. You gotta be mad." But he didn't ask like that. He just asked, "Can you just hold this piece of wood?" And then, before you knew it, you were working. That was his style. So Jayananda, somehow or other, dedicated himself completely to this service. Because Jayananda was not an ordinary devotee. Even in his earlier days, before Rati Yatra, Jayananda was well known, because everybody knew when Jayananda is chanting japa. Boy, he's chanting japa, right? And Jayananda could sit down sometimes and just chant 50 rounds. Just sit down and chant 50 rounds, right? Non-stop. Just go sit there. With deep concentration. Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. 50, right? Completely absorbed. Very seriously. Not that he was having ecstatic symptoms, or at least not that that was the issue. The issue was he just gave himself completely in the way he took Prabhupada's instruction. We never heard that Jayananda was rolling over the floor, you know, in like, oh Krishna, right? And that he was a pure devotee like that. But rather he was a pure devotee in the sense that he applied himself with complete enthusiasm to Prabhupada's instructions. At one point, to help maintain the temple, the devotees were selling some incense, and Jayananda would go all over America to get orders for the incense, and he would, he didn't want to waste money on anything, so he would usually sleep in the car, right, to save money, and then just go out, you know, and just chant his rounds, and then go out, and he was just traveling all over, getting orders for incense. Jayananda was also, of course, involved in the pioneering of book distribution. And although he was never the super scorer of the week, still, he was there. You know, he was there to begin the experiment and the yajna, and he was certainly dedicated. But he excelled in particularly in Jagannath Rath Yatra, right? And he managed to engage everybody. He managed to engage people in building the cart. He managed to go to Louis the Banana King and get like truckloads of bananas, you know, for his Rath Yatra. Dayananda had this capacity. In 1975, they made a great Rath Yatra cart. The only thing is that they decided to make the wheels of steel instead of the traditional wooden wheels, right? I thought, this is America, you know. And when Prabhupada saw the wheels, he was not very impressed. And he said, why? You have changed. You Americans, you always have to change. You know, why you've changed the wheels, right? So Prabhupada expressed doubts about the wheels. And indeed, there were problems. During the parade, the cart of Subhadra was going okay, but the cart of Lord Jagannath and the cart of Lord Baladev had problems. The wheels went out of shape, right? So, in Vrindavan, there is one devotee named Bhakti Siddhanta. He's an artist, and he has made many of the decorations in Prabhupada Samadhi, and he's been in Vrindavan for a long time. And he became a devotee because of Jayananda. And in fact, he said that he was in New York, and he saw this huge cart come down the street, and he said, it was fabulous. The cart wasn't driving, it was walking. Right? It was walking. He said, this was absolutely ecstatic, you know. He said, this convinced me, you know. This made me a devotee. I decided that the person who created this was so far out, you know. I thought, I got to meet this guy. And it was Jayananda, you know. So then once he'd met Jayananda, he was finished. Jayananda engaged him this way, that way, and was already making plans for the next Rath Yatra and improvements, and had learned from the mistakes on the wheels and wasn't going to do it again. And of course, his greatest Rath Yatra was 1976 in New York. It was the first time that Rath Yatra was taking place on Fifth Avenue. New York is a big city. It is not a little town like Amsterdam. It is a huge city, of course. Jai Gunitai. And in New York, the roads are basically in the form of a grid, right? They are all linear, all straight. So there are the avenues. Now the avenues are big, long, long, straight, wide roads with skyscrapers on the side. There's no wires across them, nothing, right? Just long, long roads, very wide. And Fifth Avenue is the most prestigious one. It's in the center, and it's the famous one where all the rich, rich shops and this, that are. So we were on Fifth Avenue, the most prestigious road in New York, you know. So there, Jayananda built three beautiful, huge carts, completely perfect. And Prabhupada came, and Prabhupada was so happy. And the Rath Yatra was organized so well. There was unlimited prasadam. There was such nice arrangement. The kirtan leaders were out of this world. You know, many of the black devotees were partaking in the kirtans and leading and playing drums, and many others. It was really cooking, right? It was tremendous. It was a Rath Yatra, and it was going on and on and on, and everyone was in complete ecstasy, and Prabhupada managed to just get everyone to dance more and more. And Jayananda danced all the way in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath and was personally leading the cart. And after the parade, Jayananda was gone. He's nowhere. No one could find Jayananda. And everyone was just wondering, where's Jayananda? Until finally someone found him sleeping under the canopy of one of the carts, somewhere curled up. And it turned out that they noticed that Jayananda was in pain, and that he had and they said, what is it? And then for the first time they noticed some nasty lumps on his body. So this was the first sign of cancer in Jayananda, which became revealed after his after the peak of his activities. And Jayananda just continued, right? He was never considering his disease for a moment as a cause of lamentation or even something to talk about or something to slow down about for. Yes, it was found out that he had this disease. So people were saying, Jayananda, now you have to take care, you have to rest. And he said, yes, 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 that is right. I have to take care, I have to rest. And then the next day he went to Rameswar and convinced him to have the biggest Rath Yatra ever in L.A., right, and to build new carts and say, how is it possible? Who will do it? I will do it, Jayananda said. But Jayananda, you are sick. No, it's all right. I'll manage. It's not so bad. And somehow or other, he just went on. And he struggled and struggled and struggled, and the disease became worse and worse until he couldn't walk. And he was in a wheelchair, but in a wheelchair still going on, putting on this Rath Yatra and using all his influence. And everyone was just broken-hearted, you know. Everyone was just in tears to see that, like, he was in this condition and just going on. And then he went to his parents and he got $5,000 for some special cure. And then he just changed his mind and gave the money to Prabhupada. And he just put it in Prabhupada's book fund. And Prabhupada, it was the second time. He had also in the first time given $5,000, and Prabhupada had mentioned that was the biggest donation in the beginning anybody ever gave. And now again he gave $5,000. Prabhupada even told him, I'll give it back to you if you need it for your health. But no, he did not give it back. And he said, no, that's all right. And he stood up one day and he was just speaking about the glories of Lord Jagannath, and his parents were there, and so many devotees were there, and they're all seeing, my God, he's dying, and everyone was just crying, and just so moved to see that nothing could stop him, and that by his desire, three amazing carts manifested, and although he himself could not even participate in the Rath Yatra, that it was a fantastic Rath Yatra, right? That was the LA Rath Yatra. So, of course, I went a little bit into Jayananda's final, the final pastimes of Jayananda. I'll go back to other points. Jayananda was one of the things that he had expressed was that he realized that soon Prabhupada would leave the planet, and that whatever would happen, that he would not be able to tolerate to be in this world and see Prabhupada disappear. Just like Haridas Thakur could not see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappear. So Jayananda had also said, no, I want to leave before Prabhupada. He had mentioned, I cannot imagine that I'd have to be here and see Prabhupada leave this world. No, not that. So in that way, that was an element, in a more transcendental element in Jayananda's personality. So he was the most spontaneous, most wonderful devotee that we can recall within this movement. And like I said yesterday, when he was sleeping in class, Prabhupada said, just let him sleep, because he's too tired. It was all right. Don't wake him up. So here's a little booklet which has some more stories, which helps me to remember them, and then I'll, every once in a while, go a little more free form again. But I'll start a few things. So here it says that, Jayananda was just a typical American boy. He was handsome, strong, intelligent, and he came from a wealthy family. He got a diploma in civil engineering from the Ohio State University. And so, but somehow or other, Jayananda went to work as a taxi driver. So why didn't he just work according to what he had studied? He had a degree of a university. He was a civil engineer. So why would he work like a taxi driver? But Jayananda said, I didn't like the mentality of these so-called high-class people. They were too arrogant, so I didn't want to work with them. So that's why I just took a regular job as a taxi driver. So even before he was a devotee, you see, he didn't like false ego and pride and just want to take a humble position. Although he was highly qualified and had graduated in engineering. So but Jayananda was never satisfied in material life, and therefore he said that he was never happy before he came to Krishna consciousness. In 1967, therefore, he became quite depressed, and at that time he read in some San Francisco newspaper a little article about an Indian Swami who was coming to the Bay Area to chant the names of Krishna and Jayananda. Said that immediately when he read the article, he felt something, you know, a little hope, you know, some inspiration. So therefore he thought maybe the Swami's got something. He decided to go and participate in the programs. And so Jayananda, when he came, he was immediately he went there very sincerely as a seeker for something deeper. I mean, many hippies just came because it was far out, you know. Hey, there's a Swami from India. Wow, man. Let's check it out. Hey, Swami. What tricks can he do, right? Can he fly? What can he do? But Jayananda wanted to go deeper. He said initially he wasn't very religious or something, but he just became completely captured by Prabhupada. And therefore, he immediately started to take part in the early morning programs that Prabhupada was running while others were... And he became one of the hardcore devotees. So, it said that Prabhupada then noticed that he was enthusiastic, so he invited him to come and take prasadam, and Prabhupada said, okay, I will get you some prasadam. So Jayananda said Prabhupada then was going to cook, but during the cooking, he did not speak a single word. And also during the serving, he didn't say anything. Prabhupada served out the prasadam, didn't say anything, but just kept on serving, and Jayananda just kept on eating. And Prabhupada served more, but didn't speak to him, nothing. That was really unusual situation. So at that time, he became so impressed by Prabhupada that he gave him $5,000 as a donation to start the Bhagavad Gita as it is with Macmillan. And Prabhupada was very, very pleased with that and very, very impressed, right? He's just saying, it's like, he helped me so much, you know, so much. He gave me he gave me $5,000 donation, because at that time that was a lot, you know. That was really, and it made the difference. It meant the Bhagavad Gita as it is. So it was very important. Here's some story that I'll just read. I have to take my thing. Chandanacharya Prabhu is remembering some of these special qualities of Jayananda. Said he was completely in love with Krishna consciousness. Even if he had to go in the street to sell incense, then he was up every morning at 4 o'clock and have his Mangal Arati, chanted all his rounds, he was reading the books, cooking prasadam, and he would never deviate from that. He liked these things. He very much liked it, so nothing could stop him from doing it. For him, it was not a duty. He was doing it because it was just real nectar for him. He was completely happy as long as he could practice the activities of Krishna consciousness. And like that, it was also with prasadam. Jayananda was worshipping prasadam. Right? Even when there was a little bit of prasadam dropped on the floor, he would eat it from the floor. He loved to prepare prasadam, to offer it, to distribute it. And whenever he was going on the street
to buy some boga, and then for whenever we were going on Harinam, then he would offer it and distribute it. So he was always making sure that there was something to distribute. Jayananda even used to pronounce the word prasadam in such a special way that you felt like having some. You know, when he was speaking around, then he felt like, I gotta have some. Jayananda knew how to attract people to Krishna consciousness by prasadam. And when there was a new devotee in the temple, then Jayananda personally made sure that the devotee was stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. Yeah. When Jambavu Bhavan was only very new in the movement, Jayananda brought him so much prasadam that he thought, I can never eat all this. But then, immediately after he had eaten the whole big plate, then Jayananda would bring him a plate just as big and with just as much prasadam. Then he would say, well, I can't eat this anymore, Jambavan said. Srila Prabhupada said that we must eat until we waggle like a duck, you know, Jayananda said. And then, well, Jambavan would just go like, well, he ate it anyway, and somehow or other he ate the whole second plate. So Jayananda could himself also eat tremendous quantities of prasadam, right? In the day, but also at night. Even at 10 o'clock at night, he would go and come with this peanut butter halva, and when Jayananda asked, hey, Prabhu, here, some nectar, you know, some peanut butter halva, taste this, you know, right, like that. Then there was another thing about Jayananda, that he loved kirtan. He was completely into kirtan. He was always absorbed in taking anybody in the temple on Harinam. Nobody could stay home, and he really loved singing in the streets. And whenever there was a kirtan, whether it was in the temple or in the streets, you could always see Jayananda participating with dancing and singing full with enthusiasm. And there was a devotee named Maharaj Prabhu, and when he made him Maharaj Das, when he made him a devotee, he, in the beginning, he would often go to his house, and then in the house they had big, big kirtans, right? So, although there were only two of them, then they would have a kirtan in the house together, so he would just go to the house of Maharaj, later became Maharaj Das, and he would just start a kirtan with him. And they were only two, and then Jayananda would make him dance also. And the two of them would be dancing around the room chanting Hare Krishna. And just call out really loud, Nijai Gaur Haribol. So in this way, he was like completely into kirtan. And one day, all the devotees had worked very, very hard. And about 10 hours, you know. And then suddenly Jayananda said, hey, it's 10 past 7, time for arti. Everyone was so tired that arati was really the last thing we could think of. But Jayananda took a quick shower, ran to the temple and started the evening kirtan and with such power that everyone got into it. And then, yeah, well, they got just lifted up off their fatigue and they had this rip-roaring kirtan and everyone just got dragged along in it. So in this, definitely, the thing that appealed Jayananda the most in Krishna consciousness was preaching, right? Somehow or other, he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness and deliver the conditioned soul. Whether it was the Sunday feast, whether it was the sales of incense, whether it was working in the Rath cart, anything, but he was a preacher. He had this, when it came to preaching, he could just forget anything, right? He forget his any inconvenience and go out there and do it, you know. And this, and he always found someone to preach to. But his preaching was generally very simple, you know. All we have to do is just chant and take prasad, right? We should just chant all the time and get some faith in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And Karanda is saying that during his first day in the temple, Jayananda started preaching to him and said, and then he took him to Srila Prabhupada, who was sitting in his little garden in the old temple in Los Angeles. And Jayananda said, do you know, it's not always the way it should be in Krishna consciousness. You have to keep on chanting. So that moment, Karanda was thinking, there couldn't be anything wrong in Krishna consciousness. But many years later, he was just remembering these words of Jayananda, that there may be so many things, right, that go wrong, so many things that come and go, but somehow or other, you got to keep on chanting. That is the constant companion throughout the years. That is your friend, the holy name, throughout the years. And Karanda actually realized that Jayananda had given him a great jewel in that very first encounter, although he had not properly understood it, but it stayed with him and throughout the years. So, everyone liked Jayananda. And one evening at 10:30, Jayananda was fixing one of the Sankirtan cars. And he was lying on his back under the car, and at the same time he was preaching to two hippies who were standing next to the car. And anything they could see of him was just his legs, you know. But they were listening very fascinated at what Jayananda was preaching and while he was fixing the car. And in this way, he wasn't wasting any opportunity and was just such a preacher. And if anybody was a little receptive, then he immediately began to talk about chanting, about Prabhupada. And without showing off or anything like that, but he was had this really sincere and intimate appreciation for Krishna that he would share with you, you know, and then you start feeling, it is very special, it is very wonderful, it is an amazing opportunity I'm having here. And and he just had so much faith in chanting, and he would just encourage everyone about chanting. So that's why Jayananda was extremely, he was clearly, with heart and soul, dedicated to the Sankirtan movement. He had no other desires, he had no other interest, he wasn't like getting into Sanskrit, he wasn't getting into, not that I'm speaking about getting into Sanskrit, if you are inclined that way, that's alright. But Jayananda's main thing was the holy name. And he put all his energy into the chanting. And there he went straight to the core of what it's all about. Right? So it's very important. So Jayananda was, of course, also quite humble because he was ready to ask anybody. He would go to some new bhakta and say, "Hey, Bhakta Mike, what do you think I should be doing?" He was just approaching everyone. And in that way, becoming very, very humble. Dhanavir Maharaj, then Prabhu, was saying, if there was any praise, Jayananda wouldn't hear it. And one day, Jayananda then... And Dhanavir began to notice it, you know, that every time in front of me, when they praise Jayananda, he's not paying any respect to it, any attention to it, sorry. So then, one day he said, you know, when you've been in this movement for a few years, then there are many people, they think that they have to glorify you, you know, even when your qualities and service are actually not so great, you know, I mean, just like that. So in this way, he was preaching, right, about humility, which in those days was, of course, very new. Now we may repeat the same lines, and it's kind of, we've heard it before, somebody said it before, because so many years come by. But in those days, that was the first time a devotee showed the other devotees how to deal with praise, right? Because nobody really knew, and nobody really knows how to deal with it when you get praised. And Jayananda just instinctively knew perfectly how to do it, and just because of his natural humility, he did not need to read the instructions of how to be humble and how to take a humble position. He just was humble, and therefore he naturally said, "People tend to praise you, but actually, you know, I'd like
It's just because I've been around, and that's what happens then. It's not because of my qualifications. So he actually logically pointed out that he didn't deserve all the glorification. And here he showed his real humility. He wasn't just saying, well, but I'm the most fallen, you know. No, with logic he dealt with it. Right? And this is the real platform of humility, where you're actually seeing that, yes, I am not very qualified. You know, I really am not, for good reasons. So, of course, there's the famous story about the garbage. I think most of us have heard the story, but still I'll tell it. That Jayananda was actually a senior devotee in the temple. But he was always volunteering for any service, and therefore he was volunteering to take out the garbage of the temple. So with his gloves and with some other devotee, they were carrying out all this garbage, plastic bags, dripping, smelling, you know how it is, and huge quantities from the Hare Krishna temple, you know, unlimited bags, right, were being put outside by Jayananda. So one day, as this was going on, one man walked by and started a whole discussion with Jayananda, who started immediately to preach to him and tell him everything about Krishna consciousness, how nice it was. And the man was so impressed and came to the temple soon after that. And he said, the reason why I came, he said, I thought when the guy who takes out the garbage is such a nice and elevated person, then what must the others be, you know? Right? What must the others be? They must be really something. And therefore, he decided, I got to see it, you know? I got to meet these people, right? If this is the lowest guy on the ladder. In this way, he was convinced that he should come. Karandar tells another story and said, one day, before Rati Yatra, he was... He had spent the whole day with Jayananda to arrange so many things, and then finally they came back to the temple, and it was already midnight. And many devotees were there in the building, so there was really no more place to sleep. It used to be like that, you know. I mean, we think this temple is small, but I can tell you that in the Hiragrath temple, in the Brahmacharya ashram, we used to sleep all on the floor, and you didn't have your fixed spot, you know. And we didn't have mattresses or anything. It was a little cold. I remember in the winter, I used to sleep on my coat, you know, because it was the cold from the floor was getting to me. But most people are not as sensitive to cold as I am. It was a wooden floor, and we were sleeping on that floor. And the whole room was full. And also, if you were late, if you were after 10 o'clock, then there was no more space. And then you had to find a place somewhere else. And there was a staircase going down, and then in the middle there was a landing, you know. There was even somebody sleeping on the landing of the staircase, right? It really was like that. The whole building, people were sleeping. So it was quite normal like that in temples in those days, that they were packed like that. Yeah, that was the early days, and everybody was getting along with it. So they came home, and had no place to sleep. So finally, they found a little place in the storage room, you know, where all the junk was stored in there. You could still sleep. So Karanda said, I was so tired. I was ready to crash, you know, and just get my sleeping bag. So Jayananda was coming out of the room and he said, Jayananda, where are you going? He said, I'll be right back. But, I mean, I asked him, where are you going? And finally he said, well, I got a few rounds to chant, and he didn't want to keep me awake by chanting in the little room, and so because he was the senior devotee, right? But no, so he was chanting outside, and then it was very, very late. And he said, "But Jayananda, you're not tired." Jayananda said, "No, we have to. I have to chant my rounds." So Karanda was so impressed in a nice way he dealt with him and how he was not demanding, taking any facility like that for himself. So it said that although Jayananda was very qualified, he was unwilling to take a post as temple president or sannyasi
or anything like that. Still, in of course, at one stage, Prabhupada made him a temple president. Then at one point, Jayananda had an opportunity to get married, right? Jayananda getting married? Why would Jayananda have to get married? He's like completely absorbed in Krishna. I mean, what can he offer a wife? He's not at all the type that will be very much absorbed in his wife. No, that was not the issue. But Jayananda had the opportunity to marry a rich lady. And Jayananda thought, well, that would be really good because then I can give all the money to Prabhupada. So he thought, why not, you know? So at one point, well, Jayananda was going to get married, right? But somehow or other, marriage didn't. There even was some marriage, but it didn't last. It didn't work out. So then he took Vanaprastha again and never managed to give all the money to Prabhupada. I guess the lady could see what he was up to, whatever it was. So the marriage didn't last. He was not really a typical grihastha. So he was only a servant of Prabhupada, and he could do anything for serving Prabhupada. He didn't care about his own position or where the glory was. For him, the glory was in serving Prabhupada. Right? So this was all symptoms of pure devotional service, very clearly. Not on the level of that we are measuring according to the nectar of devotion, you know, is he already showing the advanced symptoms? We're just seeing that he's completely dedicated to Guru and Krishna and to the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to chanting Hare Krishna, to prasadam and all this. This is that he is humble, that he's always preaching. And now we come to something that he could never see any faults in anybody else. So Jayananda didn't like it if there was if anyone was criticizing another devotee. And even if a devotee did anything which was meant to be criticized, then Jayananda wouldn't say anything, or he would think of some explanation that the mistake was understandable. And that it wasn't really so serious, and that it shouldn't really be criticized. This was his mood. He was completely against any fault finding and didn't want to hear any faults. This is also described as Vaishnava. Vaishnava is adosha darshi, one who cannot see any faults in anybody else. So it's said. So he was the personification of adosha darshi. He could not see faults in others. And displaying the same mood like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who could not hear any fault of anyone. If you're talking with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, yes, Goswami, this, that, nice conversation, Krishna, this, that, and then you'd suddenly speak about a devotee, then it was, hey, where's he going? He would just walk away. He would not hear criticism, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So Jayananda also. So in this way, he became so famous as Johnny Ananda everywhere that all over New York, many, many people, they knew him. And even after Jayananda was no longer there, people would just come to the temple sometimes bringing gifts and saying, hey, where's that Johnny Ananda? We haven't seen him for a long time. We thought we'd bring you guys some. And then they'd come with big bags of atta, a flower or something like that, you know, with gifts, because everyone was so impressed by him. He was like everybody's friend and brother. And I'm now coming to the final end of Jayananda's life, and I'm just looking for a second. I'm skipping a little bit. Here's a story about Jayananda's fearlessness. Jayananda was not only big and strong, but he also had great faith in Krishna. So nothing or nobody could scare him. One day, Jayananda was leading a kirtan in the Market Street in San Francisco. And at the same time, he was playing the mridanga. Suddenly in the street, a huge man appeared. And he weighed certainly 150 kilo. And he was about 2 meters tall. He had a huge beard and he was drunk. So when he came to the kirtan group, he was acting aggressive, right? So the temple kshatriyas, they were Kesava, big, you know, big guy, and Guru Kripa, tough noogie, you know, were together, a tough nut, they were ready to fight, right? He said this monster came straight at Jayananda. And he stood in front of him, then he began to yell, "Stop! Stop that singing! Stop it!" Right? So Jayananda looked him straight in the eyes and just said, "Chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna." You know? And everyone was amazed. But the guy just turned around and walked away. Right? So, okay, now I'm going to, of course, speak a little bit about the last moments where Jayananda became more and more sick, and he got there was some sort of cancer which is affecting his lymph glands, and it caused swellings. It caused tumors in his body in different places, and especially here he had many, many, many swellings and other places, and it was tremendously painful. But then next to it there was also a little pantry, like with the room, you know, where one could prepare a few little things. So Jayananda just immediately turned the hospital room in the temple, he made that the temple, and he himself slept in the pantry on the floor, you know, and there, and started living like that. And then he spent his whole day chanting 50 rounds, right? Or 64 in those. I think 64 rounds he was chanting. Chanting the whole day. But, of course, the disease was moving forwards, and the pain that he was experiencing became very intense, but he didn't want to take any painkillers because it was intoxication. So he didn't want to do that. So it said that sometimes he was rolling over the ground in pain, right? So, but then after some time he was not doing it anymore, and he had learned to tolerate that particular pain and just somehow or other go on. Of course, eventually he became weaker and weaker and really couldn't do anything anymore and was just lying in bed. And Srila Prabhupada then received the news that Jayananda had left his body. And Srila Prabhupada immediately wrote a letter about how he was such a wonderful devotee, how he had done such wonderful service, and he wrote, "Yes, you know, he gave me $5,000, right? In the very beginning, right?" Yes, he did. Prabhupada was like remembering this special service. And then when Prabhupada said, "Yes, when Jayananda left his body, then certainly I am sure that he may have either returned to the spiritual world or at least is enjoying for a long time on the heavenly planets." So then a second message came to Prabhupada about the departure of Jayananda, and this one was more detailed. It was describing how Jayananda was surrounded by devotees who were doing kirtan, and that Jayananda was trying to chant himself, and that he was fully conscious, and so forth. And then when Prabhupada heard all this, then he said, then he certainly went back to Godhead. Right? He certainly went back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada said that from now on, we should every year remember, right? Remember the activities of Jayananda and observe his disappearance day, just as we are doing of all the other great Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya. And also, whenever there is a Rati Yatra, there must be a picture of Jayananda on the cart. Prabhupada always said like this. So that is why we are here this evening to remember this the first ISKCON saint, right? After Prabhupada, of course, but the first saint amongst the devotees of Prabhupada, the first real wonderful devotee, wonderful disciple of Prabhupada. And what can we say? We just meet him through his stories. I personally met him through some of the devotees who were very intimate with him. And they had also absorbed some of Jayananda's mood. Right? They had learned that same mood. And they were completely formed in the same mold and the same mood. They were like expansions of Jayananda. And so for many years I was in Vrindavan working very, working first under a wonderful devotee who was like a close associate of Jayananda, and who was having that same mood of being everyone's friend and being very humble and being always concerned with the other and never with his own comfort, and so enthusiastic about anything devotional that in this way I was fortunate. And this devotee was worshipping Jayananda. He had Jayananda's Bhagavad Gita, which Jayananda had personally underlined, and he was holiness as his treasure. You know, this is like from Jayananda. So he has instilled in me also some deeper appreciation of Jayananda, and I'm very happy that that is there. I think that the more we can remember Jayananda, the more we can understand of just how we should function in this movement. Okay, I'll end with this, and maybe there's someone who has something to add, who remembers also something, would like to add the story, or maybe there are questions. First, if someone has something to add, then that can be, and otherwise, maybe some questions. Okay, question? Okay, then. I guess it's clear and it's off. Jayananda Prabhu ki jai! Okay. Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadevi ki jai! Harinam Sankatan Yagya ki jai! All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees.